Hey, good pull.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas. Joe Giglio.
Hey. So fresh and so clean, clean.
You guys with us, 215-592-9494.
So fresh and so clean, clean.
Is this describe our next guest, who I believe is...
Yeah, he got a haircut.
Well, he's about to. Elliott Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliott live from the barbershop. What's up, Elliott?
What's up? What's up, man? That song does have me excited for the cut, you know? So I'm excited to get it done.
You pre-gaming for the cut?
I like that. Yeah, pre-gaming.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I got a big weekend ahead, so, you know, I got to look right.
All right, no, so here's the question. Here's a big question before we get into anything else. Elliott, I'm not sure, you know, first of all, I'm out of the haircut game, so I don't know how often people get them anymore.
You are, yeah.
But for you, because I mean, you obviously, you know, you have nice hair, so you probably take a little more seriously than the average guy. How often do you get your hair cut? And I guess really the question is this the last cut before training camp, or will there be one more?
No, I think you got to get a cut at least once a month. Can't have it too long. Can't have it on your neck. That feels gross. So,
right.
But definitely a cut right before training camp. I mean, as Hugh will tell you, when training camp begins, you want to look good. You want to feel good. It's the start of a grueling month. So I got to make sure I get my cut right before then. And then probably right before the AJ practices too, because those will be big days.
Oh, yeah, those are going to be big days, Elle. No question about that. But Elle, I just wanted to, you know, I know you've been busy this morning. And it was brought to my attention by Kyle Quinn. He had this great idea that we were kind of just bantering around a little bit. And the idea is basically that Jesus Luzardo should give up his starting spot in the All-Star game.
This was Kyle's idea?
This was Kyle's idea.
Oh, okay.
I got it from Kyle.
Oh.
And I just kind of took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
Got it from Kyle. And Like, Luzardo
second
should give up his spot for Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Tattletale. You're a tattletale.
Well,
what are you talking about?
Great original thought by Kyle. Good one on that. That was a good take by Kyle. He's always good for those. No, I think he absolutely should give his spot up to Zach Wheeler. He should at least offer. And here's the best thing about the offer. Zach Wheeler is going to say no, right? He's not going to take the spot. So you offer it up. You tell the media you offered it up. What a feel-good story it is. It's the right thing to do. And you still get to be an All-Star. So it's a win-win for everybody involved besides Zach.
All right. So I disagreed with Hugh, but I guess I'm disagreeing with you by proxy here. So here's my thing on this, Elliott. In theory, I like what you're saying. I mean, it's a cool thing. But, like, we can't treat Zach Wheeler like he's Rudy. I mean, this is the highest paid pitcher in baseball. Like, we can't be like, I'm gonna put my jersey down and so you go play. I mean, to me, this is Jesus Luzardo's first All-Star game. To give it up because baseball screwed up with Wheeler, I can't do that.
Yeah, I think you're viewing it the wrong way. I mean, I think Hugh, who obviously in our time knowing him, very generous person, like, not every generous a gesture has to be viewed that way. He's doing a nice thing. It's not embarrassing for Zach Wheeler. We all agree Zach Wheeler deserves the spot. Everyone in that locker room or clubhouse knows he deserves a spot. Imagine the good vibes if he gives his spot up to Zach Wheeler that it would create in that locker room. They're entering the stretch run of the season. They're entering the postseason, you know, play for each other. Like, it would be an outstanding move. It would honestly be one of the nicest gestures and feel-good stories in Philadelphia sports history, right? So if he does that and shows that type of, you know, for his friend, for his teammate, I think it could propel them to the World Series.
And you know what? You know what? And the only reason why, and I understand that it's Jesus's first one, but the only reason why we're asking Jesus is because we know Bryce isn't going to do it.
Why would Bryce do it? He's a worthy All-Star.
But Bryce has been to multiple All-Star games. It's not like it's his first one. And I know this is his first one here in Philly.
Yeah,
but
right.
I think that when you look at where Wheeler is in his career, I think, and again, not putting pressure on anybody.
You are,
but
actually.
It would be a notable thing to do. It would be a notable thing
to do. Well, I think when you bring up Bryce, I agree. I mean, I think this is a leadership type of move, right? Like, this is somewhere where you want a leader to step up and do it. And so Luzardo just signed a long-term contract with the team. You know, I don't think a leader of the clubhouse yet, but in the lack of leadership from Bryce, I think if Luzardo steps up, that could be a good move.
Well, yeah,
that was kind of harsh.
It was. Well, I mean, you right down your road. I mean, you two are aligned. It is an interesting idea. All right, Elliott Shore Park, so this before his haircut coming up in a few minutes here. Elliott, I heard you guys this morning talking about the Eagles roster, and is it still elite? ESPN ranked the rosters, you know, overall talent, and they had the Eagles at number two, only behind the Los Angeles Rams. Elliott, where do you come down on the idea of the team still being that good. Well, elite or not, but like I was surprised when I clicked on and the Eagles were two. I didn't think they'd be 14, but I didn't think they would be two after an offseason where, I mean, let's be real, they lost A.J. Brown, they lost Jalen Phillips, you know, and they didn't acquire a ton of guys that have a ton of excellence in the NFL. Some potential with some of these guys, sure, but not a lot of excellence compared to the guys that they let go, including A.J.
Yeah, so I think July is always a really interesting month because it gives the perspective of national pundits, of, you know, different polls around the league, of where the Eagles actually stand. I think during the season, you know, the first few months after free agency, the draft, we can be very, understandably so, locked in on only the Eagles, right? Like talking about the second safety spot, talking about the backup offensive line, talking about the third receiver spot. Like those things matter for sure. But we're very locked in on those little details. During July, when all the lists come out, that's when you find out that the Eagles are probably better than they've been given credit for over this past few months in the city. When a GM, a poll of GM tells you Saquon's the third best running back in the NFL, when another poll tells you they have two of the top 10 corners in the NFL, and when this list says they have the second best roster in the NFL, we could certainly debate it. Maybe they're three, maybe they're five, like whatever you want to say. But when you have a top five roster in the NFL filled with the talent they have, then you should be expected to go really far. So I think sometimes we view this season too much as just about the offense, right? It's like a learning year. Just see if he can do it. No, they have a Super Bowl winning head coach, a Super Bowl winning quarterback, one of the best rosters in the league. They should be expected to compete for a Super Bowl. And so I think that list gave good perspective of what should be expected.
So I agree with you on this, that we do get all too eagled up, right? And we just focus on the positives or negatives, right? Depending on what it is, on the roster moving forward. Now, one thing that we haven't seen the quarterback list yet, I imagine Jalen will not be a top 10 quarterback. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll be at the back end of the top 10. But I'm guessing Jalen will not be on the executives list of the top 10. Also today, Elliot, the list came out of pass rushers. No Eagles on there. Not even the honorable mentions with Jonathan Grenard, which I thought was a little bit surprising. Does that concern you at all that, like, those are two huge positions, right? Like, we're talking about quarterback and pass rusher. And I think it's a fair guess to say they're going to have no top 10 at it either, the quarterback or pass rusher. Pretty huge positions to not have some of the best in the NFL.
So the Jalen thing doesn't concern me because I know they can win with him at quarterback. If they had not won a playoff game or maybe only won one in 4 years, then I think that would be definitely a fair concern, right? But I think ultimately the question with the quarterback is, can you win with them? And they can very obviously win with Jalen. So the quarterback thing doesn't really concern me. As far as the pass rusher, I guess there's, you know, it's a fair point. I would just say the Eagles defense, I don't know if anybody, you know, anybody that makes a list, any caller you talk to, any host would tell you they're concerned about the defense. So I think, you know, the offensive line is a concern. I know they've been ranked pretty high. My own opinion on that would be, you know, I do have concerns there, but no, I don't have concern about the edge rusher or the quarterback.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here a few weeks before training camp. All right, Elliot, let's discuss the LeBron thing as we continue to move through this. First of all, LeBron week has been a gift here that I did not expect. I mean, it's amazing that we get to do this and have this conversation. I thought these days were over back in 2018. Elliot, I know your opinion on LeBron and wanting him or not, but where are you now on the idea of this happening? It sounds like we're moving a little bit further into the process where it could be down to three teams, the Miami Heat, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Sixers. That's what Shams said yesterday. Where do you come down on your thought that they actually could get him?
So my belief that he will sign with the Sixers has increased over the past, I would say, 48 hours. I don't think he is going to go to Miami. I don't see any benefit of that besides the weather, which, look, is awesome. But I think when it's the final year of your career, that's probably not the top priority. I think it comes down to how good does he think the Cavs roster is, because we always put the Sixers in the camp of, well, this is his best chance to win, and it might be, but it's worth noting the Cavs did go further than the Sixers last year. Like, they were in the conference championship. Now, I know obviously the Sixers have since added Jaylen Brown and that really matters, but he could certainly look at Cleveland and go, I have a chance to win there, and he gets to return home. But I think Bob Myers being on the pod with Rich Paul is very interesting. Like, why would Rich Paul do that? Why would Bob Myers do that? Unless there was a serious chance that he might go to the Sixers. I think the way Bob Myers spoke, you know, at one point he's talking about Joel Embiid and he goes, you know, and if LeBron is here or not, very offhanded, which to me is a little insight into he really doesn't know if LeBron's coming. So maybe LeBron's decision hasn't been made. So, you know, 2 days ago, I would have said, I think it's definitely Cleveland. But the more things that happen, I think it is, there is a chance it will be the Sixers.
Elliot, I'm curious, what's your take on Jaylen Brown, the player? It's the last week has been fascinating. I'm so excited he's here because, one, I think he's a really good player. And two, he speaks his mind on everything. He'll live stream every thought he has. So he's going to be an interesting guy for us to just talk about and watch the next few years. What is your thought on the player? Because it feels like, you know, we live in a world here with the Eagles, with Jalen Hurts. He's a very polarizing player because people just don't know how good he is compared to his accolades, right? We debate that every day, basically. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown feels like a similar type of athlete in the NBA to where his career is like, wow. But people in the league, including the Celtics, obviously are like, yeah, maybe not as good as you guys think he is. What do you think about Jaylen Brown?
So, obviously, I've not met Jaylen Brown yet, so I can't compare him to this player perfectly. But the more I hear about Jaylen Brown, the more I listen to him speak and see the things he does since he's been traded to the Sixers, he reminds me a lot of Malcolm Jenkins. Malcolm Jenkins was a player that, during his time with the Eagles, very outspoken, very strong in the convictions he had, very involved in the community, and was not afraid in the locker room to talk about those type of things, right? So, but I also know from covering Malcolm that he was a leader on that team. He was popular in that locker room, and it did not impact his play on the field. So I think there's no question that Jaylen Brown is going to come into Philadelphia. He will speak his mind. He will have strong opinions on things. He will be in the community. But I saw with Malcolm that that could be a very positive thing, right? So in terms of the off-the-field thing, I don't have any concern about Jaylen Brown. My concern with the trade, I can't get out of my head. Why would no other team pay more? Like, that's really my only concern. I mean, you could say, great, there's something lucky happened for the Sixers, but lucky things don't often happen for the Sixers. So that would be my concern. But Jaylen Brown, the person, I think will be a positive.
You know, I like that comparison to Malcolm. I mean, obviously, you're talking some personality there, but even their careers, like, they both won a championship with the team that drafted them, and then that team just let them walk out the door. I mean, one was free agency, one was a trade. And in retrospect, the Saints probably never should have let Malcolm go. And, you know, we'll see if the Celtics feel the same way about Jaylen Brown. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. As always, have a good haircut. And we'll
Thank
see you,
you.
Soon.
All right, good. Sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
There he goes. Elliot
Shore. As always, have a good haircut.
As always, have a good haircut.
Okay.
Get a good hair. What do you say to someone getting a haircut? Good luck?
Well, maybe I just, the as always thing is like, well, like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't
feels
know.
Like, it feels like that implies you often tell him to get it, to have a good haircut.
Whenever he's on with us before his haircuts, I would do that.
Okay, yeah. So we're one for one.
Yes.
Okay.
I promise I'll do it next time because I got to keep up the as
always.
Yeah, okay.
Thing. Yep, as
always. That was an interesting comp, Jaylen Brown to Malcolm Jenkins.
I think it's about right.
I like
because
that.
When you talk about, a lot of times, like when I look at Jaylen Brown and I see some of the things that he said and some of the comments that were made about him, a lot of times that makes a lot of people uncomfortable because he is confident and he's a smart man. And for some people, you know, that makes them, you know, feel some type of way. And but he can play. There's no question about it. When you talk about what he was able to do with the Celtics last year when Tatum was hurt, should tell you everything you need to know about that type of player. So it's one of those things, man. It's just a part of it. What did Seth say one time? Don't let my confidence intimidate you or something like that. It was something he said when he was talking about the Eagles or something, and somebody got mad at him, and it was something to the effect that don't let my confidence, you know, make you feel inferior or intimidate you. So it's I feel like it's kind of the same thing when it comes to Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, I think the last few days or week or whatever it's been people trying to almost understand the trade, like just coming up with these, like, why would they trade him, right?
Well, yeah, because a player of his caliber.
Yeah.
You know, and the bottom line is, it sounds like it was money.
If I had to, like, power rank the reasons why I think he's a Sixer today and not a Celtic, I think money's the biggest reason, right? They have too much money invested in two players that they could win a different way. But then I think that doesn't work for some fans, so you have to start throwing out other things. Well, yeah, he's also this, he's also that. And it kind of goes to that he's got a strong personality. I think he's an awesome basketball player, and I'm with Elliot to the point where it's almost like I still have to remind myself, they got Jaylen Brown for Paul George and a pair of first-round picks. It's wild. 215-592-9494. All right, back to your phone calls and everything here. Are you starting to get hopes up for LeBron? And the Zach Wheeler thing, I mean, a ridiculous snub. Elliot, Hugh, I mean, everyone trying to tell me that Jesus Luzardo should give up his All-Star spot.
Hugh.
Mainly, I mean, this is, Hugh walked in today, clear eyes, and was like, you know what? Woke up today thinking,
well, no, I didn't
Jesus.
Say that. I was just saying, I presented it in a way where
baloney.
It's probably... it's probably a little awkward in the locker room with Zach saying what he said and then Lizardo getting the nod. And I said, I'm not telling anybody what to do because this is Lizardo's first one.
Yes.
But it would be a noble sentiment if you offered it. Now, to Elliot's point, he said he might not take it. If I'm Zach, I'm taking it. If he offered, I'm taking it. I mean, that's just how it is.
That's awkward in the clubhouse,
well,
too.
It's not because...
Oh, I'm going now, guys. Oh, how'd you get there? Oh, I got Jesus'
well,
spot.
Well, when you talk about what he's meant to this club, like, this has been in the making for about a year. The man said he's probably not going to be pitching in 3 years. I mean, and this is one of those things to me where I know people aren't going to understand, and that's okay. But it's one of those things to me where it just feels like it's the right thing to do in this moment, especially when you talk about the looming potential lockout in Major League Baseball.
Okay, so I understand that. I think maybe Kyle said earlier, does it kind of open up a can of worms if baseball allows this, though? Like, Aaron Nola was the example he used. Let's say there's a player down the line that isn't towards his last year, and he doesn't get the legend spot because Bryce Harper takes it. We're just going to allow guys with 6 ERAs to make the All-Star game? Like, it just feels a little bit like a slippery slope. Like, teammates decide, you take my spot.
Well,
and then game? Who they decide?
Well, I think in this situation, it's just special circumstances. I mean, and it's him. And, you know, we're here in Philly. And it's Zach. And Zach got that dog.
I don't think Zach would want the spot from Jesus.
I think he would take it.
Mm-mm. Like, that would shock me if he takes Jesus Lizardo's spot.
It would not shock me. I would not be mad.
Because you would take Sean Barber's spot.
Yes, I would.
Okay. Well, then that's the least.
Thank you, Sean Barber.
Let's go to Steve in Elberson. What's up, Steve?
Hello. Hey, guys.
Hey, Steve. What's up?
So this Zach Wheeler snub is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I looked around the guys who got selected for the game, and Logan Webb and Paul Skenes have ERAs that are approaching 4. And they got the nod over Wheeler. I just think that's ridiculous. Like, this guy has been really snubbed of a lot of, like, honors in his career here. Like, I think he should have won the Cy Young in 2021. He had way more innings than Burns. And he should have easily have been an All-Star this year with how well he's been pitching.
Steve, I agree with you. Two things. I mean, one, so at the time Skenes got it, he was the only Pirate. So that is its own thing, right? But the Logan Webb thing,
yeah,
Steve.
But I
agree with Logan Webb. The Giants have 2 All-Stars. That team is dreadful. They should not have 2 All-Stars, right? Like, so they got to rise. The Logan Webb spot, Steve, should have been Zach Wheeler's spot. I am totally with you on that. It doesn't make any sense.
I think it would be pretty cool that if Lizardo actually gave the honor to Wheeler, I think that'd be like just a great moment. I think that would be a feel-good thing. And I think he should honestly consider doing it because Zach Wheeler deserves to be an All-Star. I mean, like, I read a stat. Since 2019, he's led the entire league pitching-wise in WAR. And he's pitched, like, over 100 more innings than any of these other pitchers. So this guy's putting together a Hall of Fame career for this team, and I think he just deserves more appreciation from the league.
Steve, I agree with that. I mean, he might be the guy that has the closest Hall of Fame resume that has the least credentials. You know what I mean? Like, the least All-Star games and Cy Youngs.
Yeah.
But yet you watch him, and you're like, this looks like a Hall of Fame pitcher. Steve, I agree. All right, Steve, what do you got for us? Hughes Clues and ice cream flavor.
I'll go chocolate chip mint.
Mint chocolate chip,
that's,
Steve.
That's a pretty good guess.
Got to tell you, not a fan.
Hate mint chocolate chip.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Mint for me is for toothpaste.
Or
mints.
Or gum.
Yeah, mints.
Yeah, keep it out of my ice cream.
Mint flavor in dessert, nah.
Mint and chocolate don't go together.
But a lot of people love it.
It's insane.
That's not our answer today, though. But
no, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, people got to stop with that.
I never understood it. I never got it.
I never liked peppermint patties. The York.
Yeah, well, it's the same concept.
Yeah, they're all lying. Mint and chocolate don't go together.
But a lot of people like it.
No, well, they're pretending to be adults, grown up. They think it's a grown up thing.
Mint chocolate is supposed to be a grown up thing?
I think so.
Oh, I don't even know what it is. It's gross.
Do kids like mint? I don't think kids like mint.
I guess. I just never thought of that as a grown-up.
I mean, when I grew up, I think my dad liked mint chocolate chip, and I always thought that it was
When you were an adult, you'd like it, and then you don't know.
I know. It's disgusting.
It is gross. Let's go to Rich, who's up on WIP. Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Rich. What's up?
I just had a quick question. So given that the pitching rotation and rest days are all kind of not written in stone all the time, why would the Phillies, and frankly, why would Zach Wheeler pitch on that Sunday knowing that the fickle nature of the MLB could exclude him from the All-Star game?
So, Rich, I thought about this. I guess it was this past week or two. I guess last Thursday, right, when Ron Hell pitched against the Pirates last Thursday, and he did not pitch well, and then they sent him down the next day, and I looked at the schedule, and I was like, they're going to skip the fifth starter spot. They have a day off, right? That you know, they're going to, the Friday was off, so they could skip that fifth starter spot and not use a fifth starter before the All-Star game. But Rich, that would mean that Wheeler would pitch on Tuesday and Sunday, thus eliminating him from the All-Star game. Rich, it's a fair point, Hugh. The Phillies, when they altered the rotation, they set Wheeler up on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, the Phillies are at fault here, too. I mean, yeah. they put him on that Sunday. They didn't have to do that.
I feel like, you know, and I'm just probably holding out hope that something's going to happen. I feel like they're going to try to fix this. I really, really do. I feel like the way that he felt. Because when you talk about Wheels and the type of person he is, his demeanor, doesn't say a whole lot. This was strong. What he said about MLB and mm-hmm. how he felt about this was very strong. So I think he's saying it, and I think somebody's going to hit and try to correct it.
Yeah, Rich, you bring up a good point, though. The Phillies are part of why this whole thing kind of lined up this way.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
You got it, Rich. Rich, you want to give guess for Hugh's Clues?
Yeah, let's go Butter Almond.
Butter Almond. Rich, Hugh, is that it?
No, it's not.
It's not Butter Almond.
I thought Butter went with something else.
Different.
Butter Pecan.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
No, but they have it's called something butter from mm-hmm.
Peanut
Trader
butter?
Joe's. No, it's
Almond butter?
I don't know what it's called, but it's something butter. It's pretty good, too. I got to figure out the
name. Some kind of nut butter?
No nut butter. Ain't no nut butter.
Why not?
What is peanut butter?
I mean, it's nobody calls it nut butter.
No, peanut butter. No, that's a pretty common thing because there's a whole variety of nut butter.
I just don't like the name nut butter.
I think you're a fan of nut butter, and that's okay. Everyone is. It's all right.
Most of us eat nut butter.
Eat the damn nut butter.
I mean, I don't like the name.
Most of us eat nut butter.
You will eat the nut butter, and you will call it nut butter.
This name of this Trader Joe's ice cream, because y'all got me off.
If you like almond butter, you like nut butter. If you like peanut butter, you
don't like the way that sounds.
You like nut butter. Don't lie to everyone. All right, 215-592-9494.
You like nut butter. 215.
Poll question. Do you enjoy nut butter? Okay. You can get in all the Wheeler stuff. Are you getting your hopes up for LeBron? I can't believe I got Douglas, callers, Elliot all saying Jesus Luzardo should give up his All-Star spot for Zach Wheeler. I love Wheeler. He should be in the All-Star game. Luzardo should not give up his spot. This isn't
cookie butter. It's called cookie butter. That
makes you feel better than nut butter?
No, but it's called cookie butter. It's pretty good.
I get it. It's just a bit.
It sounds better than nut butter.
Does it?
It does.
I don't know. Second clue coming up. Plus, wow. Bob Meyer spoke yesterday. Yesterday.
It's 11:23.
On Max Kellerman's podcast. We'll play you some interesting audio from Max. The first mention of someone we've been looking for, and Bob Myers put his pitch to LeBron out there for all of us to hear it. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen to your heart. Who is this for? Zach? I mean, no. Jesus?
No, it's for LeBron.
Listen to your heart. Do the right thing.
Jesus,
do the right thing.
Rudy Wheeler.
Jesus, do not listen to Hugh Douglas.
Do right by Wheeler.
Do not listen to him. All right, welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas shows you. Now, this is for LeBron James, who needs to listen to his heart and sign with the Sixers, because that's really where his heart and his mind should be. Yeah. Well, Bob Myers yesterday was on with Rich Paul and Max Kellerman, which is an interesting podcast to join right now. I mean, the timing is quite interesting that Bob Myers decided to do this podcast. They had him on.
Could you imagine how he on a podcast, like, during the week of free agency or something?
Let's just put a story out there that 10 years from now, Patrick Mahomes is a free agent. And Howie goes on the podcast of his agent the week of free agency. It would be wild. And of course, I would want Patrick Mahomes. And anyone that wouldn't, I would scream that we don't want Patrick Mahomes. Anyway, let's hear Bob Myers yesterday. You know, let's start with his pitch to LeBron. Bob Myers on what he would say, his pitch to LeBron James.
I'd say, I honestly believe this is your best chance to win. You have to decide all the other things that are equally important, because it's his life, right? He has to play. He has to face the scrutiny of his decision that'll have people say you should have done this or should have done that. And they'll criticize him for whatever, which is his life, so he's been through all that. What I would just say is, if it's about winning, and that, let's talk about this team, because you can win here in Philadelphia. If you want to talk about other stuff, about what's this guy like, what's that, and by the way, he knows players, a lot of them better than I do, their games. This is a guy that probably watches more basketball than anybody understands.
Like, that's
he's
a fact.
He's not just playing, and he's probably watching the game in February that nobody's watching. So he knows, not only does he know the guys, he knows how they play.
You know, you listen to Bob Myers talk there. I mean, it's pretty clear the Sixers are approaching this as, if you want to win a championship one more time, mm-hmm. this is the spot for you, right? If you want to, you know, if you want other things, you know, we're not going to talk you out of that. That's you. But their pitch is based on basketball, and that got ratcheted up because of Jaylen Brown, right? Like, 2 weeks ago, we would have laughed at the idea of LeBron choosing the Sixers based on championship. Now, with Jaylen Brown added to the mix, that is a logical way for them to go about it. Like, hey, Cleveland's good. Donovan Mitchell's really good. But, you know, they have James Harden. I don't know about that. Miami's good, and they have Giannis now. But they're probably a few pieces away. If you want to come to the place that has the most simple path to winning, it's right here.
And not only that, if you're LeBron, you're 42 years old, you're considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest, basketball player to ever play the game. You're on the team with VJ Ajkon, Tyrese Maxey, and the other young cat we got, Filon.
LeBaron Filon Jr.
Who better to learn from about being a pro? Like, that's the exciting thing about it. When you talk about Tyrese Maxey and his growth, his tremendous growth that he had in one season, and how much energy he exerted, so much so that down the stretch, you know, people talked about how sometimes he was forcing shots because he was tired and he was just trying to do too much. Didn't have any bench depth or anything like that. VJ playing defense when they were in Boston and things of that nature. Who better to learn from to better take care of your body, how to pace yourself during the course of the season, still play well, but still kind of pace yourself so that you could have more in the tank at the end of the season than a guy like LeBron James, who's been in the playoffs for 19 seasons.
Well, it kind of reminds me when he went and joined up with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie was young at that point, right? I think Kyrie was in the league maybe 3 years at the point when LeBron got there. But obviously he saw a lot in him and like, I can win with this guy. Let's go. Yesterday, Bob Myers also spoke about Jaylen Brown. And this was interesting because there's a big kind of debate, you know, more than a kind of a huge debate about Jaylen Brown, how great he actually is, because his career would say great. People in the NBA would say, maybe not as great. The Celtics might say, maybe not as great as you think. Here's Bob Myers when asked about that and how sometimes analytics might say one thing about a player, but maybe you feel something different when you watch him.
So I'll ask you, you both can answer. This is easy. Of those Warrior teams, guess who rated not great analytically his whole career or all the time?
Steph.
No, he's good.
Oh, Draymond.
You say guess.
Nope.
Well, Draymond, I know what the analytics don't love.
No. He's good. And defensively, it's like
Clay.
Clay. Think about that. Clay never rated well analytically. And tell me what kind of player Clay Thompson is.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame. We don't win without Clay Thompson. So,
no, of course.
Where you look, I don't. The thing about analytics is kind of like people go all the way too far one way or all the way. I don't listen to analytics or all that matters is analytics. It's neither. If you and I are having a conversation, you have to, this is where you have to look at some things and go, yeah, that says that. But by the way, I don't know how you get finals MVP if you're not a good basketball. I don't even know.
I don't
how
think anyone's
possible.
Saying he's not
no,
good.
No, I understand. Very good.
Yeah.
Like very good. And by the way, forget about, you know what you should look at Jaylen Brown and evaluate is winning.
Kind of like, never mind.
Go ahead.
No.
Hurts. Hurts.
That's what you said.
Was that what you're thinking?
Well, no, not at all.
Sam Darnold?
Mm-mm.
Quarterbacks?
Nah.
Who you got?
I was thinking about the Hughes Clues. I was thinking that's what I was thinking.
You were thinking about Hughes Clues during the...
Just like Hughes Clues, yeah. That was what I was about to say.
How? How did that make you think about Hughes Clues?
Why are you backing me into a corner at
11:35? No, because I think it's interesting. I think I know what you were going to say, and I actually
think it gets antsy around this time. What are you talking about?
I want you to say your interesting thought.
No, nothing. I had nothing.
Then I'll say it. It is like the Hurts thing.
Is it?
Well, actually, I think the two of them are kind of similar, Hugh, in this, that if you look at their careers, right, and you do this a lot with Jalen, just like take a big picture view of the career, right? Jalen Hurts, very good. You take a big picture view of Jaylen Brown's career. Very good. But there obviously are some people within the league that look at it and say, maybe he's not as good as everyone thinks he is. Now, we have one in that's been here his whole career in Jalen Hurts, so we have a lot of experience. We don't have the same experience with Jaylen Brown yet, right? We haven't watched him play in a Sixers uniform yet. We will start to do that. Hugh, if that's what you were thinking, and I think it was, I actually do think there is a similarity between the view of Jaylen Brown and the view of Jalen Hurts.
You know why I feel like this Jaylen Brown conversation is very interesting. I ask myself why. Why now is all of this negative stuff being said about him? You're talking about a guy who we talked about before we even knew anything about this trade that was in the running for MVP last year and was a big reason why the Boston Celtics were in position to be in the playoffs last year. And then you hear stuff about him, you know, being overly outspoken about certain things. And now since he's here, it feels like in order to justify what they gave up for him, you have to kind of besmirch his name a little bit.
That's what's happening, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. And it's like, again, a lot of times it's because I feel that he makes people uncomfortable because he's smart. And I know a lot of people aren't going to understand me saying it like that, but I can't think of anything else because it's not like we're a year removed from him being in the running for MVP.
And the year before he was the finals MVP.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, it has to be, he made somebody in a position of power really uncomfortable.
So let me throw one more thing out there. Because the three players there were kind of, so Klay Thompson was talked about. Bob Myers knows Klay Thompson well. That he was his guy on the Warriors. Jaylen Brown now, Jalen Hurts, Hugh thought of. I thought of the same thing. I think the thing that people probably think is, if those guys weren't on those teams, would they be as good as we think they are, right? Because that's kind of what when he brought up Klay Thompson, I wonder that, right? Klay is great. Klay's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but he's different now, but he's older.
No,
and
older.
He's had a lot.
But if his whole career, if he wasn't drafted to the Warriors, would Klay Thompson be viewed the same way? Maybe not.
Maybe not.
I think some people think that about Jaylen Brown. Now, the interesting thing with Jaylen Brown is we're going to get to see it. He's leaving the Celtics. We do this with Hurts all the time because we have these debates. Like, if he was drafted by, I don't know, the Vikings, would Jalen Hurts be the Jalen Hurts we talk about? Or is it the Eagles? And I think there's some people in the NBA that feel like Jaylen Brown's really good, but he's as great as you think he is because he was a Celtic for 10 years.
You know what's funny too, though, Joe? And especially the last basketball season that we had, his coach isn't considered like a Eric Spoelstra.
No,
or
but
anybody
I think
like that.
Missoula's really
no,
good.
No, but he's okay, but when you talk about some of the miscues he had when he first got the job when he was playing against us, you know, there are some questions about whether or not he was the man for the job. Now, I don't watch a whole lot of Boston Celtics basketball. I don't. But it just feels like when you're talking about him and you talk about the position that he was in, again, he was a big part of why they were in the position and in the playoffs last year.
Sure.
He was a big part when Tatum was hurt. So, and the coach isn't considered one of those, to me, one of those upper echelon coaches in the NBA right now. He might be in a couple years, but not right now. So I can't think of anything else other than he rubbed somebody the wrong way.
Yeah, I just think it's like the natural, like when a trade this crazy happens and it's so one-sided, the consensus is, well, you know, the Sixers made out like bandits. Why would the Celtics make this trade? I think like, and I'm guilty of this too, you're wondering like, what's the catch here? Like,
yeah, what's wrong with him?
What do they know that we don't? Yeah, like, and I mean, the only other comp I can think of is the Luka for Anthony Davis thing.
Right, what's the catch?
So like, and you know, I'm going to assume that the thought was, oh, well, you know, they must know Luka's not in shape or, you know, or he's going to fall off a cliff. Like, you know, what do they know? No, it just turned out they were idiots. I think it's just natural
just
people
turned out you
trying
were an
to,
idiot.
Like, naturally people are just trying to justify in their head from the other side. Because it only possibly makes sense from the Sixers side.
Well, yeah. And I also think with the league now and any of these leagues that have salary caps, the people that run the league think of things in terms of numbers and value, right? So, like, Jaylen Brown's a really good basketball player. I mean, we don't have to make this more complicated, but is he a $60 million player to the Celtics, or was he a $40 million player they were paying $60? That's probably why he's here now.
You know, this should be a lesson for everybody who thinks that the Eagles are attached to the quarterback because of the Super Bowl MVP.
The Celtics just traded the NBA Finals MVP away. I know.
Because of cap, because of analytics,
it is an ironic acquisition for Philadelphia. I think they have some similarities to the way people think about them in terms of how good they are. One more, and then we'll go back to your phone calls from Bob Myers here. He mentioned Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid doesn't mention him or Jaylen Brown, but here's Myers on Joel.
For Joel, this is the one. He's had surgeries. He's been injured. This, at least in this offseason, he's actually healthy, which if you're not healthy in the offseason coming into camp, you take any player. You're behind the eight ball. You have a surgery, and look, some guys have an upper body and they get there. But if you have a lower body surgery and head into camp, camp is so much more important than people think. If you show up in camp unhealthy, it just sets everything. You miss
or even
all
not
those,
in shape now.
Not in shape. Yeah. But if you show, if Joel, which he's, look, I think he's more motivated. It's going to be the most, LeBron or no LeBron, the most talented team he's ever had. So if he wants to have a chance, and he's motivated now. This is the
I don't
time.
Even think it's his fault. Like this is the Joel Embiid problem for me, Bob. Even if LeBron's on the team and Maxey takes another step forward, if Embiid is healthy, he's the best player on the team. If Embiid is healthy, he's easily the best player on the team. Yeah. But he's just so when you have a guy, even with other great players, who's like, yeah, but it he's and but you don't know is he going to be there? Is he not going to be there? It's hard to game plan
and
a season.
It's hard because you're basing that on what you've seen, right? And I'm a fair point, right? Fair point. Any team you saw, no one wins a championship injured.
Right.
Nobody.
Right.
I've never seen it.
You know, there's a lot from that here that was kind of interesting hearing Bob Myers, but he said LeBron or no LeBron, almost as if he's kind of workshopping that this is real to him, like it could happen.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the way you should look at it, you know, because you put it out there. You got this city excited. You already made the first move. And to be honest, this is not – like thinking about it now, this is not the same as Bobichet because we got one piece of the puzzle.
Right, right.
It's not. So we're say if this doesn't happen, Joe, we're gonna be disappointed, but we're not gonna be devastated like we were when the Bobichet.
Well,
thing
not all
fell
the
through.
Eggs are in this basket.
Yes,
Jaylen Brown's already acquired.
Because we are still in contention, but here's the reality of it: we got a good shot of going deep in the playoffs. We got a good shot of going past the second round. We just have to find that other piece if it isn't LeBron.
Yeah, and to the point of LeBron or no LeBron, Embiid becomes more important if there's no LeBron.
Yeah.
Right? They need him more and need him to be better more and just available more. Aaron in San Diego is up on WIP. Aaron?
Good morning, Philadelphia.
Good morning, Aaron.
You guys are such jackasses.
I didn't do that.
It does work with the laugh track, Aaron. It's something about your voice, the entrances to the show. It's like you got a laugh track thing about you.
Aaron belongs in a sitcom.
Well, the reason I paused is because I was waiting. Usually you respond, oh, good morning, Aaron. That's why the pause was. But, you know, if you guys want to run with it, then do what you want to do.
We will.
But, you know, today I'm actually agreeing with Kyle Quinn. I can't believe it. But, you know, Joe, you know what you remind me of?
What's that? Is
that kid from high school that got the courage up. He walked up to the hottest girl in school, asked her to the prom, and while she didn't say yes, she didn't say no. She just left the door open enough to give you some false confidence, some false hope, so much so that you go out and you make the arrangements for the limo, you buy the nicest tux that you can get, and your friends are pumping you up just because they feel sorry for you, and then her friends are pumping you up, you know, and giving
like
you, hey, you got a great
this.
Personality,
no,
you're a funny guy,
no,
you know, all that stuff. Then 2 days before prom, you call to make arrangements, and she says, oh, you know what? You know, I'm going to go with Johnny. And here you come to find out, and then in reality, you're option E. If option A, B, and C, and D didn't work, then, yeah. So that's what we're doing here. I'm so
It's
tired.
Okay to dream, Aaron. You got to take small wins.
No,
so the day that she didn't say no, that's a win for me. I'm going to use that as a win. LeBron hasn't said no. These are wins, Aaron. And yes, it's okay to dream. Maybe she'll say yes, Aaron. You ever think
shoot,
of that?
Shoot or shoot.
Yes.
Shoot or shoot.
If we are focused and we are dreaming as a fan base about a 42-year-old basketball player, we are in trouble.
No, that's all
I've got to say. Well,
Why are we in trouble?
Listen. Here's why.
42 years.
Are the Heat in trouble? It's funny. When Joe Giglio wants LeBron James, Joe Giglio's an idiot. When Pat Riley wants to go get LeBron James, he's Pat Riley. Like, why?
Why does it work like that?
Yeah, like, well,
he wanted LeBron James.
Oh, Hold on.
He got LeBron James 20 years ago. Stop
well, it wasn't
it.
20 years ago.
We're not talking about a 31-year-old LeBron James.
He's trying to get him again.
You know, we're talking about a 42-year-old LeBron James that's talking about his final year.
He's trying to get him again. The Miami Heat are trying to get him again. Why does Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra want him?
He's going to Cleveland. Okay. He's going to do a farewell tour. We're not going to have to deal with the LeBron James fatigue. We don't have to deal with the sideshow. We just need to build a championship team.
I love the Sixers fatigue as if it has been a buttoned-up operation for the last 25 years.
That's the point, Joe. That's the point. You've got the process. You got Colangelo. You got Brett Brown and
Adam
Ben Simmons.
Adam Aaron. Star hunting. I know.
You got
Zaire Smith allergic to sesame seeds. I know all of it, Aaron. And yet we've sat through all this crap. It's like Andy Dufresne digging through the crap in the Shawshank tank. Because I want LeBron James.
That was shot in Mansfield, Ohio, too.
We've been through it. We've done it. Why do you want to continue to do it to ourselves? Why do we want to beat ourselves up? Why can't we just build something? I mean, we are so lucky right now, if you think about it, with our GMs, right? We got Howie. You know, we've got Briere, who is like turning into like a mad scientist, you know, messing with other teams. You got Gansey, who's turning out to be somebody that could be very successful in the city for the next 10 years. You know, Dombrowski, but man, we have so much to look forward to. And just let this guy Gansey work. Let him build a team that's going to bring us multiple championships. And we don't need the sideshows.
Multiple.
Leave LeBron James to Cleveland. Leave him to Miami. Let them deal with that.
The audacity to come on here and say multiple championships when this team hasn't won since 1983. I mean, it is. I love the we don't need LeBron. We're going to win multiple championships without him. You know, I was told this in 2018 because I wanted LeBron then. And I was like, oh, no, we're building this organically. The right way. We have Ben Simmons. We have Joel Embiid.
Damn right.
We don't need that. And where has that gotten us for the last 8 years? Right back here.
And that guy's first big move was James Harden. So stop it.
Maury wasn't even here then. He was with the Rockets. All right. You got any more one-liners for us for the laugh track? What do you got?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I hope everybody has – oh, yes, I do have something. Mm. You know, to Andy in Westchester – you know, keep the phone marshal's name out your mouth, okay? Come up with an original thought. You know, busting on fat guys isn't you know, where it's at, buddy, okay? Come up with an original thought. Everybody have a great day.
I mean, that's out of control.
Bananas.
No laugh track for that.
always happy about love cooking.
The witching hour. I mean, last segment was the nut butter, and now we're here. All right, Hugh.
You know, maybe next time I'll give him. Remember Art's laugh that we got?
Yes. Oh, I know.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. It was like an evil genius laugh. It was awesome. Laugh. All right, before we go any further, speaking of evil geniuses, we have Hugh's clues. It was ridiculous. Hugh's clues. Can we get a second clue? First clue was a flavor of ice cream.
Second clue comes from a plant.
All right, what are you doing today?
To be fair, cookie dough does not come from a plant.
Well, you're giving the one flavor that doesn't?
Oh, okay. Chocolate chip ice cream?
Well,
does not.
Well, chocolate comes from cocoa.
But the chocolate chips,
Where do you?
maybe. Okay. This is the first time.
How do they make
the
chips?
This is the first time this has ever happened.
Do you also think chocolate milk comes from brown cows?
Joe, it's germane for $11.50. Okay. Yeah. Maybe that was a bad clue.
Well, we're done now. What are we going to do? All right. Clue number one.
You can figure it out.
Clue number one, an ice cream flavor. Clue number two comes from a plant. All right. 215-592-9494.
Oh, my clue. Mm-hmm. Ding dong.
Scott.
We should have ended Aaron's call with.
Well, I mean, what he said, I mean, that's.
Preposterous.
I'm actually surprised we didn't dump it.
Fat guys is crazy. I'm just saying.
Let's just talk to Scott in Florida. What's up, Scott?
Move on.
Scott, what's up?
Scott, the moment was too big. I think I caught him off guard.
He was listening to a different show. He hung up. He got Scott. You there? Kind of hear Scott. We have a drive-through situation like last week.
Come on, big guy.
Scott back on hold. All right, let's grab Bam in Upper Darby. Bam.
Hey, this would be a good one. Bam.
Bam should have been a lock to not pick up the phone. He never does.
What do we think Bam's doing?
Never. Well, he's probably messing with the mute button or whatever. He's
watching TV.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know.
Wait a minute. Listening to TV.
Listening.
He's there.
Maybe he fell asleep.
What do we think Bam watches on TV, if you had a guess?
Law and Order. Watching TV?
Listening.
Law and Order. Dateline. I watch Dateline a lot.
Yeah, really?
I like Dateline.
I used to listen to a Dateline podcast, which was an interesting, when I used to ride home late at night. It kind of spooked me out. Dateline is wild.
There's some wild folks that we
You ever listen to the Helga and Olga the Dateline podcast?
No, I don't.
Oh, man.
I need to probably check them out. The
plot was a pair of elderly women in Los Angeles who would, and this is awful, they would basically kidnap and get rid of homeless guys.
I thought that's what you were about to say.
They were stealing their identity.
Yeah, and taking their money.
For insurance purposes. Yes. So, like, they would die or they would kill them, right? And then they would get the insurance money because they were, like, they signed over to them.
Yeah, they were their benefactors.
These were, like, little old ladies.
Yeah, and they were making a killing.
Oh, my goodness. It was rough. All right, how do we get the Dateline stuff? 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on all of this coming up. Zach Wheeler. All-star stuff. Did we make a mistake with the top 11 here on WIP in the last few weeks? I think we did, specifically Hugh Douglas. And I think he's trying to make up for it today.
You're trying
to make up for your snub of Wheeler by pushing poor Jesus Luzardo.
No, it's not that. It's Kyle had a great idea, and he was talking about it. And I kind of saw his vision.
Yeah, right.
And I never once said he should do it. I said, you should think about it. Didn't say he should do it.
Yeah, you know, Rudy Wheeler over here. Treat him like a walk-on at Notre Dame. All right, 215-592-9494. Your take on that. Hughes clues. We do have two clues out there for you. A pair of tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic this Friday, Citizens Bank Park. And are you starting to get your hopes up for LeBron James? I am. I'm starting to feel like this is real. Like they actually could land LeBron James. 215-592-9494. Plus, on the other side, we'll get to the almost fight last night in Cincinnati. Bobby Dickerson losing his mind. No, Caleb Cotton getting tossed last night after a ridiculous base running call by L.A. De La Cruz just leaving the field, and they say it's okay. All right, all your phone calls on that. Midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. The FIFA World Cup is entering its biggest matches. What a comeback yesterday by Argentina. And there's no better place to be than Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, when you look at the futures, France trading at 34% to win it all, which means a $100 trade on France to win it all pays out $281.51. That's where my money's at. On Kalshi, you're trading against peers in a live market, meaning there's no house. And as the probability changes, you could buy in and out of your position for a limited time. Download the Kalshi app. Use code GIGLIO to get $10 when you trade 10. KALSHI Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.